Don't you just love the feeling of being in God's presence? No place you'd rather be? Well, we got work to do, though. Because we're going to take this love that you feel from Christ right here, right now, that you're feeling through the Spirit of God. It's meant to be put into action through all of us, is it not? Yes? Okay, so there's going to be some action after this service, is there not? You're going to go from this place and you're going to love one another, are you not? And love whoever it is, correct? Beautiful. That's how love spreads, right? We want to spread some love around, do we not? All the time, right? Yes, beautiful. Excellent. Because that's what God told us all to do. Did you know that part? Did you know that? You do know that, right? So there's some things that we're going to, well, I guess the name of the sermon is do what? Do what? Do what? You know, God sent Jesus to this earth so that we could have a perfect example of what love was like and what love in action looks like, sounds like, feels like, and what love does, right? And who God loves, right? Which is everybody. Beautiful. Excellent. And so when Jesus was here, he gave some commandments. And he fulfilled the commandments that were Old Testament and then New Testament the same. And he gave some very simple instructions that all of us need to follow. Just some simple things. So you ready to do those things today? You're going to say, do what? Do what? To whom? Or when? How? You're going to do what? Whatever God asks you to do, right? We're here to obey God because in John 14:15, when Jesus was at the Last Supper with the disciples, he was telling them about the coming of the Holy Spirit. But what he says first is this: if you love me, obey my commands. That's how you show me, God, you love God, by obeying Jesus's commands. And then what does he say? Love one another. Pretty simple, is it not? One command. One command. How easy is it to fulfill? Do what? Love everyone, everybody, all the time, no matter what, no matter who, no matter where. How? The Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit inside of you, which is God's Spirit, right? It's the third of the Trinity. God's Spirit in us causes us to love because it's holy. It's like God. Humanly speaking, we can't love most anybody, can we? We got a few favorites out there, do we not, if we're going to tell the truth? And I'll like you if you like me. And if you don't like me, I block you. Oh, no. Anyway, sorry for Facebook friends. Let's go to Micah chapter 6, because it also here in the Old Testament gives us instructions by God to the people of Israel. And they had, you know, they were having a lot of problems as always as the human beings that they were, and they were messing things up a lot of times and disobeying God. And so they wanted to know, what can we do to make up for this, is basically what they were asking. What kind of sacrifice do I need to bring today? Is it going to be fruit? Is it going to be grapes? Is it going to be an animal? Because it's so much easier to give something, right, than to give your heart and your soul and your mind to God, is it not? It's so much easier to throw something at something and say, I gave. But what is behind that? Is that real love in action? That's an easy out, is it not? So you know, God says in Micah chapter 6, he says, I don't want any of those things. I don't want your offerings. I don't want you to, you know, placate me. Here's what I want from you. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. People of the Lord, I have already told you what I want and good. That is good. Here's what I require. Ready? You're going to say do what on this, right? Do what? What does God want you to do? Do what? Do what is right and just. Love mercy and walk humbly with your God. So we have to do what? Do what's right, what's fair to whoever, right? No matter who, no matter whether they deserve it. To love mercy. We love people that are merciful to us, don't we? God's been merciful to us, right? You see, God doesn't ask us for anything from us that he already hasn't given us. But to love mercy, to be merciful to others, to forgive them, right? That's what that's all about, is it not? And walk humbly with your God. What does it mean to be humble? Well, it means to obey everything that he says, that you acquiesce to God, that you're below God, and you humble yourself, your own wants, your own desires, your own way of thinking, your own humanness, and you humbly just do what God tells you to do, which he said earlier, do what's right and love mercy, right? A couple of easy things to do, right? Oh. Okay, so there you see it in the Old Testament. Let's jump to the New Testament, shall we? And let's just go to Matthew chapter 7. And here again, Jesus is teaching. We've been learning about Jesus' teachings throughout our Bible study this last month or so. And we've been reading the words in red because we want to hear it right from the Savior's mouth. We want to hear right from God. And so we're looking at what God has said through Jesus Christ, because Jesus only said anything and everything that the Father told him to say, right? And here's what he says in chapter 7, verse 12. You ready? This comes right from Jesus' lips. So we should pay attention to it, right? Do for others. Are we going to hear it? Have you heard this before? Do for others Do for others whatever you would like them to do for you. This is a summary of all the commandments, all of them in the Old Testament, all 600 things that were written down back to Moses, all of it. This is a summary of it. Basically, this is the essence of it. This is the only thing that matters in it. All that is taught in the law and the prophets. One of the prophets is speaking of is who? Micah, right? As an example. Do what is right. Love mercy. Correct? Walk humbly with your God. So do for others what you would like them to do for you. Have we not heard of this before? Just about every religion on the planet has a variation of it. And some of the other religions actually say, don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. Not a bad way to rephrase it. So the question always becomes, what if they don't do that to me? Do what? Do what? You gotta do it for them anyway? Even if they're not like you? Even if they're different? Even if they're so unlovable? Even though they're not a believer? Even though they're not the same color, shape, size, or gender, or sexuality, or whatever you want to say? Categorizing people into categories as the haves and the have-nots? Who are we supposed to treat the way we want to be treated? This side wins. Got to work on this side. I'm going to move over to this side over here. I'm going to preach this way. Maybe you'll get it. Come on, Spirit, move that way. Now, this sums it all up. Other than in Matthew 22, he says it again. The two most important commandments, we learned it in Bible study. Love God. Love your neighbor. As? So do for them what you want them to do for you. And even if they don't do it, you do it. Do what? Wow. Treat others the way you want to be treated. I don't know about you, but I know what I like. I know how I want to be treated. I know what I want for my birthday. In a couple of Sundays from now. Oh, Saturday, I guess it is. I can explain it to you, right? Doesn't matter what I want. What matters is what you want. Isn't that reverse kind of weird? See, God's kingdom is an upside-down kingdom. It's not the human kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's a God-like kingdom, right? Do for others what they are not willing to do for you. How about that one? What? I wrote that down. I guess maybe God was only speaking to me, but I wanted to share it. I sounded so good. Regardless, 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 never mind, regardless of the way they treat you. Wow. These are hard teachings, aren't they? Did Jesus do these things? Did he show the example of these things? Is he asking us to do anything? Remember, he was human and divine. Does he ask us to do anything that he already wouldn't do? In fact, he went beyond, right? He went the extra mile, did he not? He died for us all. How many of you are willing to die for somebody else, especially those that are sinners, those that are less than you, those that you look down upon, those that you think don't deserve to be forgiven? But he did that for people like you and me, imperfect people. He died for us. That's the expression of his love. He treated us the way we didn't deserve. Good news, isn't it, this morning? So Jesus said it this way. If I am the one that have taught you how to do these things, you ought to do them too. If you're going to be my disciple, my follower, calling yourself a Christian. You cannot be a Christian and not act in love like one. You can be saved, yes, you'll get to heaven. Wahoo. But what are you doing here on earth? What are you doing to make a difference, to show God's love to others? Now we're going to turn to John 13. A familiar story, and I know we're coming upon eventually Easter's coming our way. But this is so important that it relates to what I'm speaking and preaching today for all of us. In John 13, we see a story here where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. We all know the story? Their feet were dirty. He washed them. End of story. Oh, no. First and foremost, he humbled himself. He humbled himself because do you realize that the person that was to wash a person's feet, for feet, both of them, that person was only to be because it was so degrading and so demeaning that only Gentile slaves did it. Do you know that Gentiles were slaves? Oh, they were. They were in Jewish homes. They were serving the people. And they were the foot washers. The most dirtiest, awfulest job. Because remember, the people only wore sandals. And they were pretty dusty all the time, right? And remember Simon the leper that went into the house. Jesus went into his house. He was a Pharisee. And Jesus went into that man's house. And then the woman comes in and wipes his feet with her tears. She's so enthralled with his forgiveness and the need of it. She loved him so much because she knew who he was that she washed his feet with her tears because of the gratefulness she had of being forgiven. And Jesus turns to Simon and says, you had no water for my feet. And Simon, by the way, was thinking, does he know who's touching him? She's a sinner, the Pharisee that he was. Guess who gets to wash Jesus' feet? All of us, right? Do you not feel so overwhelmed with joy and gratefulness that you are a forgiven person? That no matter what you've done and what you will do in the future, you have been forgiven. Doesn't that bring tears to your eyes to know that you no longer have to have guilt and shame? Does it not? Of course it does. And don't you love Jesus so much for that? Right? Someone who's forgiven much loves much is what Jesus said, right? But back to John 13. Jesus is preparing to go to his death, to die for whom? Every one of us. All people on the planet that have ever lived and will ever live again to come. Everyone. And so Jesus takes the towel and he washes the disciples' feet. And of course he comes to Peter. And Peter says, oh, you can't wash my feet. And Jesus said, well, I don't wash your feet, you can't be a part of me because you're clean all over. I mean, when you think about what he was referring to is, when we take a shower, the only thing really that gets dirty after that, unless it's our hands later, but mainly our feet, right? When you're walking around, especially if you're walking around with Birkenstocks all the time through Israel, right? Getting dust on the dusty roads, right? And see, this is about salvation. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ. And all of the people around that table, he already saved them for eternal life, right? Because they believed in him. And the only thing that ever gets dirty on us from time to time, we're all saved by grace, right? We're all saved because we believe in Jesus. But from time to time, you get a little dirty with a little sin on you once in a while, right? You don't exactly love the way God is calling you to love some days. Is that right? I mean, you do great on Sundays. I know. I see it. Oh, no. So the reason that the feet needed to be washed symbolically is for the stuff that gets on us through this world, because we're on the world, right? We're walking around the world, on the earth. We're amongst other people of the world. We get a little stuff on us, don't we? And so our feet need to be constantly washed. There's sin in a life that's a little bit has to get washed up every single day. That's what happens there. But let's go to verse 12, which is where I'm going to go on where the sermon pertains. Just wanted to teach you a couple things there. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing?" No answer. No reply. "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because it is true. And since I, the Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow." Do what? I have to demean myself and wash people's feet? I have to forgive their little sins that they commit? I have to bow down before them and serve them and feed them and care for them and love them and heal them and restore them? They're beneath me. But you see, when Jesus washed their feet, where was he? The people were sitting at the table, reclining, right? Where was he? Below them. He was below them. He was on his knees. He took a place of a servant, the most demeaning thing he could have ever done. He was the Lord of hosts, the King of kings, God himself. Yet he bowed low, and he washed their feet, took a servant's role. And then he said, "I set for you an example. You want to be the greatest in the kingdom? Be a servant. If you want to be like me, wash each other's feet. Do what? As I have done for you." How true it is that a servant is not greater than the master, nor are the messengers more important than the one who sends them. See, I'm a messenger. I'm not more important than the one who sent me. I'm just here humbly to preach his word and to teach you and inspire you, hopefully, and motivate you and challenge you and step on a few toes, and then I'll wash them. "You know these things. Now do them." Now do them. So far we've learned one thing, right? Maybe two. Do for others what you would have them do for you. There was actually a study in 1948, just in case you didn't know how popular this phrase was, where students, high school students, were taught to go home and with their friends, with their family, with whoever they hung out with, and to do for others what they wanted done for them. And it so transformed them because their lives got better. Their relationships within their family dynamic, their friendships with their other schoolmates, places where they even worked, that their life improved. So there's some validity to this, that it does work when we do better to others, correct? Do for them what we'd like them to do for us. And even Fred Flintstone, I don't know if you know this or not. In 1 million BC, he helped a stranger in one of his cartoons who was robbed and left to die. Was he a Samaritan? And he says, I'd want him to help me. That's why I did it. That's called the golden rule, right? But you see, Jesus takes it farther than that. Just because we want somebody to help us, that's not our motivation to help them, is it? We just do it because Jesus said we're supposed to, right? It's the right thing to do. Do what's right. Love mercy. Be merciful to others. Show them forgiveness. When Jesus is talking about washing feet, he's talking about other things. He's talking about forgiveness. He's talking about serving whoever they are. It's loving everybody, even if they're different from us. It's having none of this, but more of this. It's about togetherness, not separation. It's about unity, not division. It's about loving everyone the way God loves us all. The Great Commission in Matthew, Jesus says this to those same disciples. He says, go into all the world. Teach them to do what I've taught you to do. Go make disciples, followers just like me, and teach them everything I've taught them. And know this, I will be with you to the end of the world. That was his great commission. To do what? To do what? To do everything that Jesus did himself. Loving everyone, forgiving everyone, accepting everyone, healing everyone, and seeing no differences in humanity whatsoever. Jew and Gentile, Greek and Jew, black and white, male and female, made no difference to Jesus. Rich or poor. Political affiliation didn't matter. They weren't segregated into those kind of groups. That's human thinking. Godly thinking is this. We're all one human family. We're all people that are sinners that are in need of a Savior to forgive us, correct? And guess what happens when you do unto others as you would have done to you? People may wonder, what the heck are you doing? Why are you so nice? Why are you so kind? Why are you giving me that backpack? Why are you handing me this food? Where does that come from? That comes from the love of Christ, right? If we don't have the love of Christ in us, we can't do these things. So we all must examine ourselves and assess ourselves and say, Lord, anything that's not of you that's within me, if I hold any resentment, any grudges, any prejudice, any bias, any hatred towards anyone or anything, God, take that from me. Take this stony heart out and put a new heart in me, the heart of Jesus Christ, the sacred heart. So, where do we begin with that? Where do you begin? To do what? When are you going to start doing that? Church, now. So, of course, I brought a towel. And it's probably the size of the towel that Jesus wore and washed the feet. And I was thinking about this morning. There were 12 disciples in the room, one towel. 12 dirty feet. Oh, 24, actually. Some maybe old and scraggly, and some of those, we don't even know what their toes look like. And they were fishermen, remember? Who knows what kind of fish they've been walking around on before they came to this meal. See, what kind of sin is on us when you think about it? We walk in this place, some of us with dirty feet, some of us who haven't loved, haven't forgiven, haven't shown mercy, haven't done the right thing. All of us have sin on our feet, do we not? My toes are not any worse than your toes, although some of your toes might be worse than my toes, but it doesn't make any difference. All sin is the same to God, right? And what does Jesus take? He takes a towel, and he pours the water, the living water, into that basin, and he washes their feet and takes all the dirt off, all the sin off, all the shame off, all the guilt off, all that was human off of them. He demeaned himself to show them the power of servitude and forgiveness and mercy. He showed them mercy before he went to the cross. But he's used it as an example. So here's that towel. Are you ready to take the towel? Are you ready to throw in the towel? Because you can't get it right. But see, some of us start out, when I was a baby Christian, I started out with this size of a towel. I would forgive a certain few people. I was willing to serve and help those that were like me. I was scared to death to go to hospitals and visit people. I said, somebody else go. Here, you got a bigger towel than me. You go. But as we grow in Christ, and this is the church of spiritual growth, is it not? The most important growth we could ever, ever, ever have in your entire life is spiritual growth. And if you're stunted in your growth and you're stuck in that, today's the day to begin again and to commit your life to Jesus Christ and say, I want to love like you love, Lord. I want to serve like you do, Lord. I want to show people you, Lord, and then I can call myself a Christian. Little Christ, be like Christ, a disciple, a true follower who does what he teaches. What good is it to go to school and to learn all these things and you don't put them into your life? How many of you, what's 2 and 2? How do you know that? You learned it in school and you never forgot it, did you? Do to others what others what you want them to do for you. Learn that one. You know it, right? But do it. But do it. So you go from this size, and then you grow a little bit more. And when I became a pastor, I was this size. Yay, I'm growing. I got a title now. I got to do better. Titles don't mean anything if you don't serve God and serve everyone all the time, no matter who they are, right? There's no select few. We don't get to pick and choose, church. That's hard, though, isn't it, in this world today? And then one day you say, Lord, okay, I got it. I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do and love whoever you tell me to love, who is everyone. And then, ta-da! And I got a lot of feet to wash this morning. You know, if all we are is this with our life, this is a very few amount of people, is it not, that we bring to salvation, true salvation, and true new life in Christ? Don't you want to do this? Don't we as a church want to be people that wash people's feet by thousands? Yes? And love who? Anybody? Everybody. Only the people that are like you? Only people that you like? Only people that, you sure? Do what? See, the problem with having a church that's named Christ the Cornerstone, we're supposed to be like Christ, who's the cornerstone, right? So if you're listening and hearing this and seeing this, obviously you are meant to hear it and see it. But more importantly, you are meant to put all of what I've taught you this morning, which are really not my words. They came right out of the Bible. Jesus said them. He said it to the disciples and to the thousands on the Sermon on the Mount. He said it to the Pharisees. He said it to the religious leaders. He said it to the Gentiles. He said it to the Greeks. He said it to everyone and anyone in hearing distance. And he chose people who were imperfect to be his disciples, because he knew that his spirit, once it got in them, they could be just like him. So if you think you have to have a certain pedigree or a certain theology in order to be like Jesus, you don't. Because all you have to do is what? Do to others what you would have them do to you. Do what is right. Love mercy. Walk humbly with your God. Love God. Love your neighbor just like you love yourself. Do what? That's what we're here to do, is it not? My prayer today for all of you is that you really take this to heart and you examine your heart and you ask God, I don't know how to do what you want me to do, God, so good. Ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to teach you all things, to change your heart, to change your mind, to start looking at others as just children of God, people in need of a God who loves them unconditionally. Don't we love being in the presence of God? Don't we love being loved by God? Don't we also want to love others and share that love with others? Do what? Yes, we do. We're in this together, church. And for those watching and listening, my prayer is that your towel a lot bigger, that you begin to to want to serve God in new, miraculous, awesome ways. All the everybodies, all the anybodies, every single day. Amen? Amen. Amen.